In verse 1 from today's reading, Luke shares with us that the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees have soon joined the crowd that was listening to the Apostle Peter preach. The captain of the guard was essentially the chief auxiliary of the chief priest, the high priest of the temple. He's his right-hand man, and as such, he was bestowed with certain priestly roles and authorities. The Sadducees, along with the Pharisees and the Essenes, represent the three dominant Jewish traditions that were prevalent in the first century. The Sadducees, unlike other traditions, the Pharisees and the Essenes, they did not believe in angels or demons or the supernatural. They did not lift up and hold as authoritative the entirety of what we would call the Old Testament, which Jewish people would simply refer to as the Bible. And the Sadducees did not believe in a future resurrection of the dead. And that's where, as people of God, we place our hope, is in the future resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees, quite frankly, were sad, you see. That's how you can remember that. And I was taught that in Sunday school here many, many, many moons ago. Luke tells us in verse 2 that these Sadducees were greatly disturbed, right? Or that they were annoyed what they were hearing from the Apostle Peter as he was preaching. See, they obviously rejected Peter's assertion that Jesus of Nazareth, right, this man was a condemned criminal who they had personally witnessed die on a cross on Calvary some 6 or 7 weeks prior to this. He could not possibly be the fulfillment of the Old Testament expectation of the coming Messiah, right? The anointed one of God. These religious leaders were particularly annoyed with Peter that he was lifting up that Jesus had been raised from the dead. It's not difficult for us to understand why the Sadducees were upset with what the apostles were teaching about Jesus. As we've already shared this morning, they simply thought it was preposterous that a semi-literate man who grew up in the backwaters of the Jewish nation, way up north in a little town called Nazareth, could possibly be the Messiah, the Christ. In their minds, this was blasphemous talk. How dare they say that Jesus was the one? Also, these leaders were surely concerned about provoking Roman authorities over them in a crisis that may be forming within the province in Jerusalem. Remember, the Roman procurator, just a month and a half before this, his name was Pontius Pilate, had placed Jesus, or rather had sentenced Jesus to death on the cross. And he didn't sentence Jesus to death because he was some kind of a prophet claiming to be the Messiah. Jesus was sentenced to death because he was viewed as a political agitator. And the Roman government, as it expanded across the Mediterranean world in the Near East, it gave great liberties to the peoples that it conquered. But one thing the Roman government did not tolerate at all was any kind of political insurrection. And surely these Sadducees, these leaders of the temple, were concerned that these apostles of Jesus were stirring up trouble for them with Rome. And then finally, the Sadducees most certainly did not want Peter and the other apostles of Jesus talking about him bodily, physically rising from the dead. This is a teaching that they flatly denied, and which actually brought them into tension with the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees believed in a future resurrection. The Pharisees upheld the entirety of the Old Testament as scripture. So it's almost as if the Sadducees are thinking that as the apostles preach about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it's going to split the Jewish authority structure in half, going to divide the Pharisees from the Sadducees. And then we read in verse 3 that they're not sure what to do, so they have Peter and John arrested, right? They take them into custody until the next day. And perhaps in their mind, what they're simply thinking is that if we just throw these two guys in the pokey for the night, Things are going to calm down and everything's going to be okay tomorrow morning. But that is simply not what happened. This is the first time, by the way, that the followers of Jesus, according to Acts, are placed into prison for being faithful. And we're going to read about this a lot as we journey through the book of Acts. Now, as they're sitting in prison, right, Peter and John should not have been surprised by what's happened. Jesus had told them time and time again during their time together for 3 years that followers of Jesus were going to have a rough go because the world hated Jesus and had put him to death. The world would hate his followers as well. Now, there are many television preachers, televangelists, and authors, right? If you walk into any kind of a Christian bookstore and you look at their top 10, top 20, top-selling book lists, almost all of them are about subjects like your best life now, how to have more self-esteem, those types of subject matters. But that is not what Jesus presents to his followers. We read throughout the Gospels that Jesus tells his followers, his disciples, those who love him, that each and every single day they must pick up their cross and they must follow him. Now, that is not a happy thought. That's a difficult thing to have to imagine, that to follow Jesus is going to be a difficult life. Indeed, Jesus shares that the lives of his followers will be filled with suffering from the communities in which they live, and that his followers are going to be rejected by the greater culture all around them. But they will also experience untold blessing, spiritual blessing, if they remain true to him. At verse 5, Luke records that a very large number of people were convicted, right, were convinced by Peter's preaching and came to faith in Jesus that day. Roughly 5,000 men, it says, and we don't know how many women or children may have been present on that day. It's an enormous sum. And this is, you know, this is a significant movement of the Holy Spirit taking place in Jerusalem. This is just shortly after Pentecost. And then we read the next day arrives, right? Peter and John are taken out of their cell and they're brought before the gathered elders, that'd be the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. And we're told specifically that certain people are present that day. Annas, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others were present. And these are the heavyweights. These are the temple leaders and first century Judaism. They're powerful men. And powerful people typically enjoy being in control of all situations. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they asked him a very simple question. By what power and what name did you do this? Right? By what power and what name did you heal this man who's been lame since birth? And the question reveals a great deal about these men. They were ignorant, first of all. Right? They are called to be experts on the law of God. But they had missed the long-awaited for Messiah who had been right before them. They were arrogant. Clearly, a godly miracle had just occurred before their very eyes. And they refused to see what had happened. And they were fearful. The content of what Peter and John and the other apostles were teaching in Jerusalem undermined and threatened their very authority and the status that they held. And Peter's response is remarkable. Right? Filled with the Holy Spirit, he boldly states, quote, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all of the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth